All right, we're going to have a little object lesson. We're going to start here, so I'm going to come on down here. And let's see here. Let's start with a little one here. And I'm going to need some volunteers, some help. All right. And so who wants to volunteer and help me here? That's it. Raise your hand and you can volunteer. There you go. All right. Woo! A little nervous here. Here you go. This is a red one for you. Here's a white one for you, right? You can hold that for me? You volunteered, right? Anybody, who else is volunteering? Thank you. All right, there's a blue one for you, all right? And so why don't you see what's inside Mr. Shane's magic bag? You see that stuff? Ooh la la, that's pretty, Mr. Shane. See that? Right there? Yeah, lots of stuff in there. Isn't that exciting? Exciting. All right, now nothing's in there. So let's take these three colors. So what's red? Hold that up nice and high for everybody. See, red. Now what do you know of that's red, white, and blue? What do you think? What's red, white, and blue? Wait, I saw you. What did you say? The flag. That is correct. The flag of the United States of America. Right there. You see it? Red, white, and blue. You know there's another flag that's red, white, and blue? The Christian flag as well. But we're going to talk about the American flag today. All right. Red's going to represent blood that was shed for our freedom. Do you know that freedom is very expensive? Not in money. Something more valuable than money, and that is people gave their life so you and I can meet in church here this morning. Do you know there's some countries where if you met in a church like this, you'd be thrown in jail or even killed? It's true. Boy, there's the freedoms that we have, and we should be very thankful we can do this morning. Thankful for the soldiers who gave their life many years ago. I'm thankful I have a grandfather. He's still alive, but he served in World War II. There's not many of those left these days. And then we have white. Can you hold the white one up? All right, white is usually a picture of purity. Thank you very much. And you say, well, how does that have to do with the United States? Well, in the beginning, when the United States was first formed, our founding fathers got together and they wrote what they believed as a nation in departing from England. You know what that was called? The Declaration of Independence. Now, isn't that a special document? Oh, yeah. Yeah, we treasure that document. We say that's a wonderful document. Do you know in that Declaration of Independence, it says this: we hold these truths to be self-evident, that we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights. You know what they were saying? That the rights that we have come from God. Our founding fathers believed in God. You read our presidents, George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Thomas Jefferson. They would write much about the Bible and how important the Bible is and how it was to the founding of our country. And you know what is more pure than anything in this world? God's Word. God's Word is pure. And when we had that Word of God in our nation, there was much more purity than there is today. But I'm thankful for the founding of our country. And then we have blue. Hold up blue nice and high. Can you hold up the blue one? All right. Blue is going to represent justice. Now, justice is where right is rewarded and wrong is punished. Does that make sense? All right. So do we have justice if somebody does wrong and they don't get punished? Is that justice? No, that's not justice. If somebody does right and they be punished for doing right, is that justice? No, that's not justice. Right, justice is where right is rewarded and wrong is punished. And so there's that picture of Lady Liberty that's supposed to be blind holding the scales. You know that picture, that statue? And the idea is that we shouldn't be looking at who committed the wrong. Doesn't matter who committed the wrong, they all have equal punishment. You see, that's the way it's supposed to be at the founding of our country. And so we got these three colors. So I want you to go ahead, put these back in Mr. Shane's magic bag. Go ahead, put the white one in there. Thank you. And put the blue one in there. Thank you. Now I need another volunteer, another helper. Okay, you're going to come up. I saw your hand first. You come on up here. So what you're going to do is you're going to put that inside and you're going to mix them up real good for me, okay? All right. Now tap it three times on the top. Oh, thank you. We're not done yet. And go ahead, pull out what you see. Go ahead, pull it out. Look at that. So let's all stand and do the Pledge of Allegiance. Let's all stand together. Hold it up nice and high for everybody. Here we go. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. You may be seated. You can put that back in there. And I have one more for you that we're going to do. I won't need a volunteer for this one, okay? But this is a picture of what? Good job. Yeah, it's a picture of the Bible. Now, is the Bible important? It's very important. But you know there's some people who do not love the Bible? You know there's some people that want to destroy the Bible and get rid of the Bible? Throughout history, there were called book burnings at times where they would actually take Bibles away from people in other countries and they would burn them and confiscate them, and that's a terrible thing. And there's some people who tried to rid the entire world. A man by the name of Voltaire said in 100 years there will be no Bibles. But you know, to the irony of that is that after he died, his house was bought by a Bible publication company and they printed Bibles in the very house that he once lived. You see, the Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will by no means pass away. And so there's a lot of people that, you know what they want to do? They would want to rip it up and tear it away. And there are a lot of people who disrespect the Word of God, not only by how they treat it, by wanting to get rid of it, but there's some people who have the Word of God and they never open it. It stays dusty. Only time it's out is to bring it to church. And it seems they have no respect for the Bible. It's almost like they could just care less. They care about more things than the Bible. Now, does that seem like a very good thing? Mm-mm. Nope. And some people think, well, I just tear it up and I'll just get rid of it and it's going to be a bunch of itty bitty pieces. But you know, God has a promise. No matter what people do, no matter how many people don't listen to it, no matter what is done, he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. And people might do a lot of things to the Bible, and they might, boy, try to get rid of it and tear it up and think that there's going to be no more Bibles anymore. But you know what God says? No matter what people do, God's going to preserve his Bible. You see that? All right, so that's another illustration. I'll put that away. All right, so that's a little bit of the illustration. Do we want one more? Oh, I know. Adults like it more than the kids sometimes, all right? So maybe I'll one more, okay? So let me see. I got to find it. It's somewhere in my pocket here. Where'd it go? Oh, here it is. Okay. See what this is? It's an egg. That's right. So let me ask you the question. What came first, the chicken or the egg? Yeah, okay, well, I'm going to give you a little lesson here, okay? Did you know that God made this world? Yeah. You know what God made on the very first day? Let there be light, right? Anybody know what day he made the chickens on? That could be a tough one. Tough one. He made the chickens on the fifth day. Number five. That's when he made the birds and the fishes. And the chickens are birds, aren't they? Yes, they're definitely birds, all right? So they were not made on the sixth day, land animals, okay? The birds were made on the fifth day. Some people get that confused sometimes. Okay, and so God made them. And so quick question, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? What do you think? What comes first? Chicken or the egg? Who wants to give an egg? What do you think? You think the chicken? Okay, now where did the chicken come from? Comes from an egg. Did you know that? Chickens come out of the egg. So which one came first, the chicken or the egg? If chicken comes from eggs, then which one came first?
Egg.
Do you think the egg come first? And where does the egg come from? It comes from a chicken. Well, we have a problem, don't we? We really don't know what comes first, the chicken or the egg. But you know, because we know the Bible, we do know what came first. God made all the animals as they were grown. So the chicken would have come first before the egg, because when God made the world, he made the chickens first that would lay eggs after their kind. All animals were created after their kind. And so we know for sure that chicken came first. So if somebody ever asked you, chicken or the egg come first, you can tell them definitively from the Bible that chicken came first. Okay? All right, now I'm going to need a helper who wants to volunteer for this one. I need you to hold my egg, all right? All right? You want to hold the egg? Can you hold it for me? All right, come on up here, buddy. All right? So what I'm going to do, I'm going to blow on it. All right? And then I want you to hold on to it real tight. Can you put your hand out? Can you close it up real tight? Hold it real tight. All right, now turn and face it. Oh, look what happened. When he opened his hand, how many eggs did he get?
Three
eggs. Where did they come from? She says, it's not possible. Okay. He's trying to put them back together again, okay? But here, go ahead and hand that to me. All done. Thank you very much. You can go put your, go ahead, sit back down. Good job. We're all done. We're all good, done. All right. We'll put that in here as well. And afterwards, I do have animal balloons that I'll be willing to make for the kids, all right? So it'll be something special afterwards. All right. Now, I have a rule regarding balloons. You only get one, all right? And so just one here for the balloons, all right? So I don't have time to make a endless supply of them, all right? So, but very good. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16. I might bring this down to the lower level here, but I'm going to read from the book of Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 8. It's going to be our text this morning. Just one verse. Aren't you excited? Preacher's only going to preach on one verse this morning. All right, don't get too excited. All right. But Proverbs chapter 16 and verse number 18, if we could just all stand out of respect to reading God's word, what we'll do is we'll read the verse, one verse, and then we'll have a word of prayer, then we'll be seated and get right into the challenge we're going to have here this morning. All right, know what the Bible said? Proverbs 16 verse 18, the Bible said, "Pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall." Let's bow in prayer together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the wonderful word of God. Lord, we pray this morning that you help us to understand this simple truth. And Lord, somebody here and they are not born again by the Spirit of God. I pray this morning that the Spirit of God would speak to their hearts. And today they might change ownership from being a child of the devil to becoming a child of God. Well, thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, thank you. May be seated. I'm so thankful for children. You know, the Bible says, and I believe it's Matthew chapter 18, the disciples were with the Lord Jesus, and a bunch of parents brought their little kids to Jesus, and they said they wanted Jesus to bless them. And the disciples were like, no, stay away. You know, we don't have time for that. And then Jesus rebuked him, and he said, "Suffer not the little children, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." Now, that's not telling us that all children go to heaven. Not at all what Jesus is saying. He is saying, like a child simply believes their parents, even so, an adult must simply believe what God has told them. That's what faith is, believing God. And so God calls all people to believe him. So I'm thankful for this emphasis for the children this morning. But the title of my message this morning is Bitten by the Eye Bug. All right. How many of you like bugs? We got any bug lovers in here? Not too many. All right. Not too many. Maybe you got one, maybe. And maybe I remember when I was in second grade, we had to do an insect collection. Have you guys ever done an insect collection? Oh, boy. What you do in an insect collection is you got to get bugs and you can't squish them. You got to kill them without squishing them. That's a challenge sometimes. So get a little bottle of Raid and then you spray it in the box and then they all die. And then you got to stick a pin through the middle of them and you put it on a styrofoam board and you put a little label under it and you say what the bug is. That's called a bug collection. We had to do that for school. Any of you remember doing that? I know the adults have. Okay, I remember doing that. All right, you had to have an insect collection, whatever the case was. And I remember one bug that was very hard to kill. It was a tick. Ticks are hard to kill. I got what was called American dog tick, all right? They're a little bigger tick than the deer ticks, all right? And so they're really easier to see. And so I put a pin through the middle of it. Do you know that thing was still moving? Its legs were over a week after I stuck the pin through it. And I tell you what, if I got one of those ticks on me, I don't like ticks. They're blood suckers. They do. They get in and they suck your blood. And that's not very nice. And we often don't like bugs very much. I remember I was telling everybody in Sunday school this morning how my parents had a 3-seater outhouse for a bathroom for 5 years. They lived in this old one-room schoolhouse and it didn't have indoor plumbing for 5 years. We had the outhouse. I was explaining about the spider story in the outhouse, but I did not explain all the bugs that were in the outhouse. Now, you know why bugs like to go into the outhouse? It's because that's where the smelly stuff is. And the bugs tend to like the smelly stuff. You know what I'm talking about? And so it just brings bugs to it. And so when we would go out there to use the facilities, so to say, my dad decided to put a bug zapper inside of the outhouse. And when we would go out there at night, it was very noisy, especially when the beetles would make its way for the light. And when it would and it'd be very loud. Sometimes it lasts a long time. The beetles lasted longer than the little bugs. And there would be a pile of bugs down at the bottom of where the bug zapper was in the outhouse. And so we would have to go in there every day or so and clean up the bugs and get rid of them. It seemed like there was an endless supply of bugs. And I don't know about you, I don't like bugs crawling around all over the place. Now, I don't like it, but I don't mind it too terribly much. But I'm going to tell you what, my wife, that beautiful little girl right there with the yellow one, she don't like bugs. No way, no how, never. And if there's a bug in our house, I don't have to do anything. She is on the job. She will be up on top of the bed with her flip-flop and whacking at the stink bugs that are on the ceiling. It doesn't matter what bug it is, she will not sleep unless she knows that bug is dead. Then we have those special bugs that make their journey to our house almost every year this time of year. They make the journey to some of your houses too, those little ants. And so they come on in and they find their way different places and they find their way to the food. And that when they find their way to the food, they go back the same way they come because they lay pheromones. They leave a scent that they can know the trail that they walked. That's what the ants do. And so they go back, and then they go back and tell all their ant friends, and then all the colony of ants come marching in the same line. And they march down there to the food, and they start getting inside of your food, and they march back. And they got a 2-lane highway going. All right? Air and back. Outside, inside your house, inside, outside. And it's not a very good feeling when you pour your Fruit Loops or your Fruity Pebbles or whatever you're eating for breakfast, and you start eating it, and you see black stuff floating around inside the milk. That's when you really want to get rid of the ants, especially when you considered you've already taken a couple spoonfuls already. And so my wife, she does not want ants in our food. If the ants is even crawling on things, she tends to want to throw the whole box away. I'm like, I don't even know if they made it in there. Don't throw it away if they're not inside. She's like, they touched it. Doesn't want the ants. And so then she was kind of researching. She wanted to know how to get rid of these ants. She doesn't want these ants around. I mean, we sprayed and they're still there and the different things that happened, they're still there. So she found this concoction. It was a cup of sugar, a cup of warm water, and then what, 2 teaspoons of borax, something like that. And you put it in and you mix it all up. And then she puts it on a little plate with a paper towel that's all wet with that stuff on it. And then they come and they like it because of the sugar, and then they take it back to their homes, and the borax kills all of them there in their nest, and it's a wonderful thing. And I remember on one occasion, I was sitting in my recliner in the living room. She is in the kitchen. Her head is over top of the little plate. And the ants are coming to the little plates. And she's over top with her hands going like this, "Die, my pretties." You think I'm making it up, you ask her. That's exactly what she did. And I got a good laugh in my chair. I was like, what in the world's going on over there? All right, now if you've seen Wizard of Oz, now you know what that reference is. But anyways, and she does not like bugs. Well, you know, bugs can be a big problem. Some of them, if they bite you. There was a pastor, he was assistant pastor at our home church. He was there for many, many years. And he got bit by a bug, by a deer tick. And he got Lyme's disease. Do you know the result of him getting Lyme disease? Now, it can infect different people in different ways and not hurt some as much. But it hurt him very much in his ability to think and to do things. And so he was unable to no longer continue in the ministry because it bothered and messed with his mind and how his mind functioned so much he had to step out of the ministry. And a bug bite like that caused great devastation. Now, this morning, I want to talk about a bug bite that causes far more devastation than even Lyme's disease could cause. And that is the bug bite of pride. The bug bite of pride. I've titled the message, Bitten by the I Bug. Not E-Y-E, but capital I, as in me, the I Bug. What does the Bible say in our text that we were looking at? It says, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. All right, I want to look at two things this morning. The proud, number one, the proud do not submit to authority. But you know that? The proud do not submit to authority. In 1 Peter chapter number 5 and verse number 5, the Bible says this. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another. Be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now, if you have your Bible, I'd like you to turn quickly to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 14. I want you to find an example of this pride, a Bible example. Isaiah chapter number 14. And what does the Bible say? Beginning in verse number 11 of Isaiah 14. Note what the scripture says. Thy pomp, that's pride, thy pomp is brought down to the grave. The noise of thy voils, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms cover thee. How thou art fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How thou art cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations. For thou hast said in thine heart, listen, what did he say? I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my house above the stars of God. I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell to the sides of the pit. Oh, do you know what Satan did not want to do? He did not want to submit to God's authority. He did not want to submit to God's authority. What happened as a result? He was cast out of heaven. Boy, does God have any authority over us in our lives? You know he does. And someone says, well, what right does God have by way of authority in my life? Do you know, number one, he has the authority because he made us. You know that? In Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, and God created them in his own image. In the image of God created he them, male and female. male and female created he them. It's what the Bible says. God created us. Now, who has authority over something? But what if you made it, you possess the rights to the thing. Do you not? That's why when you get a when you create something new, you get a patent so someone doesn't steal it. You have the rights to it. When someone writes music, they put a copyright date on it. Why? Because they have the rights to it. They're the creator. And so what right does God have to tell me what to do is that he made me. Not only did he make me, he died for me. You say, whoa, wait a minute. What are you talking about there? Well, you see, because of man's sin, Adam and Eve in the garden, they rebelled against God. They didn't submit to authority. They disobeyed God's command. As a result, for the first time, every man's heart was painted black, painted dark. Their conscience became dark and guilty. Now, every one of you knows what it means to feel guilty. When you've done something wrong, or you're planning to do something wrong and your heart races a little bit more. I remember the very first time I went to steal money off the top of my dad's dresser. Can you believe I would do something like that? Yeah, you know why I stole money off the top of my dad's dresser? I wanted to go buy candy. Because we didn't have candy in our house. And I wanted candy. And the first time I went to go steal money, I was sweating. My hands were sweating. I was nervous. My heart was racing. I was creeping in and looking in my parents' bedroom, making sure nobody was there. I went over to my dad's dresser and I saw the change up there on the dresser. And I went to reach for it and I heard a noise. And boy, I get scared. I'm afraid I was going to get caught. And then I got a quarter. And as soon as I got the quarter, I quick ran out of the room. And you know, it probably took my heart 30 minutes to stop beating hard. Boom, 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 boom. You know why I was scared of getting caught? You know why I was scared of getting caught? Because I knew what I did was wrong. You see, sin is doing wrong against God, the one who created us, the one who defined what sin is. Sin is anything we think, say, or do that breaks God's law. And so, have we ever sinned against God? Oh, what are some of God's commands? One of God's commands is, thou shalt not lie. Have you ever told a lie? Boy, I have. You know what God says? If you lie, you don't tell the truth, you're sinning against God. Another command is, obey your parents. Boy, is that one important? You think, maybe not. No, it's very important. Yeah. How many of you adults obeyed your parents? How many times were there situations where you disobeyed your parents? Yeah? All of you adults, you know it. And now, as you are an adult and you have kids, now you don't think so bad of your parents anymore. Right? You're like, oh, my parents are mean. You won't let me do what I want. And then now you got kids and you're like, oh, this is a lot tougher than I thought. My parents were good parents. But you didn't think they were good parents until you had kids. Amen. Yeah. Why? But does the Bible say, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. You see, when we put ourselves in the measurements of what God calls sin, we find all of us are guilty, meaning all of our hearts are darkened with guilt and with sin. And because of sin, there's consequences for sin. Now listen, parents, this is very helpful, and I want to encourage parents to obey the scriptures in how you rear your children. The Bible says, he that loveth his child chasteneth him betimes. And you say, really? Do I really need to punish my kids when they do wrong? You do. Why? Because God says so. But there's another aspect of it I think that's very important that maybe a lot of people miss. I'll tell you because of my life. You see, when I was 5 years old, my mom talked to us or talked to me about being born again. And I didn't know what that meant. She was talking about becoming part of God's family. Because I wasn't in God's family. No person born in this world is born in God's family. Please understand that. Someone said, we're all God's children. That's not true. Jesus said, you are of your child, you are of your father, the devil, and lust of your father ye will do. You say, oh, that's harsh, that's harsh. Listen, Jesus loves people. He died for them. That wasn't a hateful statement. That was a loving statement. So they understood where they were at and why they needed him. And I tell you, I'm thankful for my parents. They believed in applying the Board of Education to the seat of understanding. They believed in spankings. So I'll tell you what, I got more spankings than all three of my brothers combined. Ask my parents. It's the truth. You ever have a strong-willed child? Have one of those? That was me. I got punished all the time. And you say, oh, does it really matter? Yes. Because when I was 5 years old and I didn't understand what it meant to be born again, I came downstairs and when my mom opened the Bible and said that all have sinned, you know what I knew? I knew I was a sinner. You know how I knew I was a sinner? I got plenty of spankings. I knew what it meant to do wrong. I knew that when you do wrong, there's punishment. I mean, as a little kid, I understood that when someone does wrong, there should be punishment. That's justice. I understood that. That put me in a place that when I got to hear the gospel, God convicted my conscience that I was a sinner. You see, nobody gets saved until their conscience gets convicted that they're a sinner. Jesus always pointed out the sin so that he could point out the Savior. And so, as a little kid, my mom pointed out and said, all have sinned, and I know what I knew, Daisy. I knew I was a sinner. I was a bad kid. I disobeyed my parents. My parents would do something, I'd look right at them and do it anyways. I was a bad little one. But I'm so thankful because then when she told me that Jesus died on the cross for my sin, he was buried and he rose again for my sin. Listen, as a five-year-old, this is hard to imagine. Not all 5 years old understand this. But as a five-year-old, I can remember exactly where I was, exactly the situation. I remember the conviction of God on my heart. I remember crying because I knew I was a sinner. And I realized for the first time in my life that Jesus died just for me. And that it was necessary for him to die if I were to have my sin forgiven. You know what happened? That night, I just obeyed what God said. Like the faith of a little child, I just believed that God died for my sin, that he was buried, and 3 days he rose again for my sin. I believed, and I called on his name and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And that day, I was saved. You say, really? Is it that simple? That's what the gospel message is. Religion makes it complicated. It's not complicated. But you know what religion will do? It'll steer you away from these things. Pride is refusing to submit to authority in our lives. What authority do we have in our lives besides God? We have the Word of God. Do you know the Word of God is an authority? It's a standard. And in it is an unchanging standard. I don't know about you. I like things that don't change. Because we live in a world where everything's changing, and I'm not liking it. You know, marriage was always between a man and a woman, and now they're trying to change it. It ain't right. You know why it's not right? That's all. And someone says to me, I remember one time someone was asking me about homosexuality, like, do you hate homosexuals? I was working at Cracker Barrel. Do you hate homosexuals? And boy, all the girls I was working with, they got a big crowd around me. They all wanted, what's Shane going to say? Asked if I was a homophobe. And I said, I do not hate homosexuals. I said, I love homosexuals. I said, you know, if I hated a homosexual, I wouldn't say anything to them. Because I know unless they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to go to hell. That's a place of torment and torture. And if I hated them, I wouldn't say anything to them. I'd just let them go. I said, but because I care, I want them to know that Jesus died for that very sin they're involved in right now. And that Jesus can cleanse them and can forgive them and can deliver them from that life. And because I love them, I want to tell them that. You know, when I said that to those girls, their mouths were wide open. They had no idea what to say. They never heard that before. But isn't that the Bible truth? Yeah. So God's word is the standard, and so I need to measure my life by the word of God. I tell you what, it makes you a whole lot safer. I remember some time ago, I was working for an excavating company between my high school year, or between high school and college. I took a year off to work to save money for school, because I don't know, I believed that I had to pay for my own schooling. I'm very naive, isn't it? And so I saved money and I paid for all my school. My parents didn't even pay for my school. I paid for my school. That's what my parents taught me. I think I have good parents. How about you? Yeah. You know what? I really appreciate the education I got. You know why? It was my hard-earned dollars to buy it. And so I was, that was what happened in my life. And so I was a year off, and so I was working for an excavating company, earning some money, and I would witness to those guys. Now, these guys were as lost as a goose egg in a hailstorm. You know what I'm talking about? You know, some people, they're like lost, but there's some people really lost. Like, these people aren't religious. They don't go to church nowhere, no how, never did. So they don't know anything about God, the Bible. And so, and their mouth is, every word is a foul word. And it's just, I get inside of the vehicle to go to a job. And I remember one time they put on the radio a guy named Howard Stern. I never heard anything like that before. And I was like, turn that off, please. Like, I was like, can we listen to something different? And so then I put on family radio. They said, well, you pick the station. Pastor, that didn't go over well either. They're like, well, we got to compromise and do something else. At least they didn't have Howard Stern on anymore. That was raunchy, wicked, awful. Well, but anyway, so we got it off of there. And so then they started asking me what I believed. And they'd be like, what religion are you? And they're like, are you a Jehovah Witness? I said, no. Are you Catholic? No. Are you this? Are you that? And I said, listen, I just believe the Bible. And no matter what religious question they ask me, I will give them a Bible answer from the Bible. Do you know what began to happen? He stopped asking me about my religion, and he started asking me what the Bible says. And I remember one time we were we're working inside of a building, and one night they decided to watch the History Channel, and it was about creation and about the Bible. So they watched a history video on the History Channel about the Bible. Now, that's a miracle. Why would these guys ever watch anything about the Bible? They never had any interest before. You know why? Because this kid that they knew just out of high school, every time you ask him a question, he always tells them the Bible. So they started getting curious about what this Bible is. And they said, oh, History Channel, the Bible. We'll see what that is. And so they watched it. They saw Noah's flood. And then they saw the Jews leaving Egypt. And he said, hey, Shane, hey, I learned something last night watching the History Channel. He said, did you know that when the Jews left Egypt, that they didn't go through the Red Sea. They went through the Reed Sea. And it was only 2 feet of water. It wasn't a big ocean. And I said, now, you and I know that's not the truth. And I said this. I said, well, I don't know which miracle is greater. God drowning the entire Egyptian army in 2 feet of water. Or God splitting the Red Sea open. And they all laughed. They're like, oh, yeah. Because you know the account that when they crossed the Red Sea and the Egyptians followed, God drowned the entire Egyptian army. And they laughed. And then they realized, yeah, I guess what the Bible says is the truth. You know, that is the standard, no matter who you talk to. Just make the Bible the standard. You say, well, I'm doing good because God's blessing me. Can the devil bless you? Devil can bless you with financial stuff to keep you away from God. We go by the standard of God's word. The greatest treasure on all the earth is God's message. Obedience to God's word. I'm so thankful. My mom, her favorite verse for her kids was 3 John, verse number 4. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. Let me ask you, parents, is that your desire for your children? If that's your desire for your children, you're going to want them here, aren't you, to hear the truth? You're going to want to have your Bible devotions at home. You're going to want them to follow the Bible and not people's opinions. All right, so we should submit to God. We should submit to His Word. What else do we submit to? Do you know, according to the Bible, we're supposed to submit even unto our pastors? You say, oh, Brother Shane, stop it right there. I do not believe that. Well, you got a problem then, because you go to Ephesians chapter 4, and it says he gave gifts to the church, and one of those was pastor teachers to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. Boy, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 16, he gives instruction to pastors. They're to rule the house of God. Oh, you say, really? Should I really listen to my pastor? Boy, I don't know about that. Boy, that sounds like tyranny. That sounds like, boy, I don't want anybody to tell me what to do. Listen, you know why pastors are given? To help you, not to hurt you. And listen, I happen to know this pastor a little bit, not as well as some of you have known him for years, but I know there's a lot of people who have been with him a long time and know his heart. And you know how many times he's helped people who've never returned any appreciation for him. He's helped people who has left this church and talk bad about him. Now, I don't know that for sure, but I'm sure there is, because I know how pastors get treated sometimes. I know how good intentions, because he cares most about someone's soul more than he cares about anything else, and some people do not like him for it. Oh, but you know what? God's given a gift to the church. We should submit ourselves to the teaching of the scriptures. What's another person you should submit to? Your parents. Oh, did you hear that? Your parents. Do they have authority, your parents? Yeah. Do you know your parents have far more authority over you than your teachers at school? Understand that? Mom and dad are in charge, not teachers. Mom and dad are in charge, not the government. Amen? And so protect your children, parents. You are in charge. You look back in history, you'll find that often they would take children away from their parents. Daniel, that's what they did. Boy, that day might be coming. Be careful. All right, so bitten by the eye bug, number one, proud, do not submit to authority. And finally, as we close here, secondly, pride is a focus on self. We read there in the book of Isaiah, what did Satan say? I will ascend. I will be like the Most High. You know that most common word that's repeated? I. Pride is a focus on self. Now, the Bible says in Psalm 10 and verse 4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Isn't that interesting? Do you know when Satan came to Eve, he tried to make it not about God, but make it all about Eve? Remember when Satan came to Eve? And he said, you will not die, Eve. For God doth know in the day that you eat of it, you shall be like him, knowing good from evil. And you know what the devil was successful at? Making Eve stop making it about God and his word and what God said. Eve, don't make it about God. Make it about you. The devil hasn't changed his tactics at all, has he? We tend to make lives all about us instead of all about God. Hey, listen, I'm thankful you have some respect for God. You know why? Because you're here this morning. Amen? I'm thankful for every person that's here this morning. But listen, it shouldn't just be on Sundays to make God a priority. It should be every day in your life. It should be every week to bring the people to church. Why? Because the Bible says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is, but all the more as the day of Christ approacheth. God wants us to the house of God more. And that's where God wants us. Boy, a focus on self will create rebellion. You all know what it is. You watch little kids, they ever tell you no? You tell them to do something? No. Whoa. Now, in my house, that is World War III. Oh, boy. I don't even know if I'd be conscious after that. Dare not say that to my parents. Oh, but it will create rebellion when you want to do things your own way. All right, number two, a focus on self will create loneliness. Did you know that? We don't have, for sake of time, I won't go there. But in 1 Kings chapter 19, there's a prophet of the Lord by the name of Elijah. And he just obeyed God. He went to Mount Carmel, and there he called all the false prophets of Baal, over 400 of them, and they came, and they built an altar to God, and they built an altar unto their God, and he said, whichever God answers by fire, let him be the true God. And remember, all the false prophets, they prayed, and they cut themselves, and they tried everything to call on Baal. And did Baal answer? Nope. And then Elijah prays unto the Lord God, and he sent fire. The true God was revealed in Israel, was he not? And the people said, the Lord, he is God, the Lord, he is God. You know what happened right after that? Jezebel, the queen of Israel, said, by tomorrow this time, I'm going to kill him. And you know what he did? He ran away, scared for his life. He just killed 400 prophets of Baal. But he can't handle a woman. This man was scared of a woman, I tell you. He surely was. And when he ran away, and the Lord pursued after him, he went up into a mountain. And there the Lord came to Elijah. And did the Lord come into Elijah and say, Elijah, oh, you, come on, don't you know? Did he start yelling at Elijah? No. The Bible says that there was a great wind that came, but God was not in the wind. There was a fire. There was an earthquake. God was not in those things. And he says, and then it was a still, small voice. And you know what Elijah said? He said, oh, Lord, I'm the only one left. It's just me. Everybody else has forsaken you. And what did he say? There's over 7,000 that haven't bowed the knee unto Baal, whatever the number is. You know what he thought? He thought he was the only one. He felt lonely. You know where loneliness is stemmed in? A focus on yourself. Oh, I don't have any friends. We don't have this. We don't have this. And we think if we had those things, we would feel better. Oh, but listen, that's a focus on self. That's pride. Loneliness. We don't have people my age. I don't have a mom or a dad. There's a lot of excuses people give for feeling lonely. I don't have friends. What it is, it's a focus on ourselves. You know, ultimately, a focus on ourselves will cause us to miss God's plan for our life. Matthew 16:24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. You know what I have found? Often when you stand for God, it becomes lonely. It really does. I was in a Christian school. Isn't that a good place? Now, big Christian school. We had approximately, I think, about 500 kids in a Christian school. Can you imagine that? And I'm talking a solid Christian school. I'm not talking about compromised, weak, or anything like that. Very good Christian school down in Limerick, Pennsylvania. And you would think in a place like that, boy, that would be the best environment. But you know, it really wasn't. I was full in a class of people who talked about God but didn't live for God. And God brought me under conviction about sin in my life, and I got right with some teachers, and I started obeying the rules, and you know what? The rest of the kids thought I was trying to be a goody-two-shoes and win the Christian award for the year. And they despised me. My own classmates despised me. And I could say I could feel all alone because I was trying to do right before God. But you know what? I didn't feel all alone. You know why? Because I made it all about God. I spent more time with my Heavenly Father. I read His Word more. And my relationship with God grew. And when I focused on Him, I stopped making my life all about me. And you know what happened in the course of that time? God called me into the ministry. Why? Because I wanted to do His work, not my work. Focus on self will miss God's plan for your life. Listen, I wonder where you're at. Has the pride bug bitten you this morning? Hey, if you're not saved, today's the day to trust Christ as Savior. If you are God's child and pride has gotten a foothold in your life, would we turn back to God again? Let's bow in prayer together. Heavenly Father, do thank you for the Word of God and, Lord, good attention people have given here this morning. Oh, Lord, we're praying for someone to trust Christ as Savior this morning. And then, Lord, we're praying for saints, Lord, to realize whether or not the bug of pride has bitten them and gotten a foothold in their life. We pray you would help them here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray.